if you're ready, let's go ahead and get our Bibles out, get your tablets out, get your notebooks out. We're going to open up this brand new series entitled The Art of War. And if you would, join me in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. And this series really came as a result of, as a church, we're going into a season of prayer. But I want us to pray more effectively, and I want to give you tools and I want to give you tips in order for your prayer life to be enhanced and to be more robust and to be more colorful and for you to enjoy those things. And there are tips with inside of the Word of God that allow us to have a relationship, an authentic conversation with God that produces results. James 5:16 says the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous person makes tremendous power available. And the Amplified goes on to say dynamic in its working. So the reason I believe most people don't pray more is because they feel like there's not enough results, or they're not seeing the answers to the things that they prayed. But there's another facet to prayer, and that is this aspect of spiritual warfare. And I want to let you know that every single day that you wake up, every single moment you put one foot in front of the other, there is a spiritual warfare going on between our flesh and our spirit. There's a spiritual warfare going on against the powers of God, as well as demonic forces. And we need to be able to discern what is happening around us. What is going on? There's often a question that we ask, is it God? Is it me? Or is the devil? And in order for us to know how to properly respond to the various trials of our life, we've got to know, when is it us that is in the way? When is God trying to do something that may be uncomfortable that causes us to begin to seek the will of God? And when is it just straight up demonic influence, demonic oppression? For those who are not born again, when is it demonic possession? And I believe that as the body of Christ, that we must take our place with the authority given to us by Jesus Christ. And we must also have the wisdom and the skill necessary with the power that's given to us by God in order to properly walk out this life. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, and this is Paul writing here, he says, we are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. So he's saying we are natural individuals, but we don't fight like natural individuals do. Oh, how do we fight? Verse 4, we use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasonings and to destroy false arguments. Verse 5, we destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. In those three verses, Paul has given us insight into there is a way in which a person who is born again operates. There is a way in which they fight. There's a way in which we wage war that is not a natural and typical way. So Paul is introducing us to this concept that though we live in this world, we have a reserve. We have resources that go far beyond this temporal world that we live in. And we must learn how to skillfully access what's made available to us by Christ. And this term, the art of war, truly plays on the ancient writings of Sun Tzu's The Art of War. And this is an ultimate classic. This book was written over 2,500 years ago. Yet Sun Tzu's The Art of War is still relevant today and can be applied to your leadership. It can be applied to your relationships. It can be applied to your business. Really, every aspect of your life, the various principles from Sun Tzu's The Art of War are applicable in each area. So much so, Sun Tzu's whole premise behind his book, if you want to go and look at his book, it's really written in like bullet points and it's a very thick book. But the whole point behind Sun Tzu's writing was that in order for someone to be wise, they must understand how and what battles that they are to pick and what battles that they are to leave alone. And I believe that spiritually, and as it relates to walking out our walk with the Lord, we've got to know which battle is for us to pick up and which battles belong to the Lord. And if we are fighting battles that God says already belong to Him, we're going to end up wearing ourselves out fighting for things that already belong to us and that have been won by Christ Jesus in His death, burial, and resurrection. So in this series, and really today, my goal today is to give you two tips that are going to help frame your prayer life, going to help frame before you enter into prayer, before you enter into spiritual warfare. There are two thoughts that I want to leave inside of your mind today. The first thought that I want to give you, and really the main point today, is we need to learn how to fight smarter, not harder. And so Paul had an opportunity, as one who had a really privileged upbringing, as well as he was very well known, he was able to see how the Roman military conducted operations. And so as one who understood Roman military tactics, he was trying to, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, to illustrate and to paint a picture for those who would be reading this epistle on, based off of what we've seen the Roman military do, there are a lot of similarities that take place inside of our walk with God and our daily faith walk. And there are two things that he was trying to illustrate in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5. He was trying to show us that we have a military strategy, and we also have military positioning. In order to get the full context, let's go back up to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1. And here are the two words that are going to show us our spiritual military strategy and our spiritual military positioning. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1, it says, "Now I, Paul, appeal to you with gentleness." That speaks to the military strategy of those who know God. And then he said, and kindness of Christ. That is now the position of one who is to engage in spiritual warfare. So again, a person who engages in spiritual warfare must have the correct strategy. And that strategy is gentleness. But they must also have the correct position, which is the kindness of Christ. And these are very powerful Greek words that are used. And so the Greek word for gentleness that is used in 2 Corinthians 10 and 1 is apikia. And this word that Paul is using is, he's saying that whenever I'm facing something that is completely unfair, my goal is not to insist on my own rights or my own way, but my goal is to respond in a way that pleases God and from a place of love. So hear me out. When we face injustice, when we face things that don't go our way, when we face disappointment, the first thought isn't to, well, I have the right to do X, Y, and Z. It's reminding me of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, where Paul also wrote, all things are lawful. I can do all things, but all things are not expedient. So Paul is constantly reminding those that he is has watch over that although you may have rights and although you can do whatever it is that you want to do, always find the most beneficial route, always find the most expedient route. And he lets us know in 2 Corinthians 10 and 1 that gentleness, or choosing to respond from a place of love rather than a place of entitlement, is the first mindset that we are to have in spiritual warfare. So now there's this second word that he says, the kindness of Christ. And that word in the Greek is proutis. And the word proutis is a unique word because it talks about being centered in the place of our emotions. So proutis, or kindness, is not saying that we have no emotion. And kindness is not saying that we go off the deep end in showing emotion. What it's saying is, first, we are to be gentle. That's the strategy, to always choose to respond from a place of love, even in the face of injustice or when things are unfair. But number two, when it comes to kindness, it's saying that we also now need to be centered in our emotions. Aristotle says it like this. It's not that someone doesn't get angry. It's just making sure that we don't get angry and have outbursts at the wrong time. So Paul is acknowledging that there are human responses, and even in this text, there are human responses to things that make us feel uncomfortable, to things that are going on. Paul possibly understood that he would one day have to face trial for things that he didn't do, that he would be faced with injustice, that he, as he was coming into who he was to the body of Christ, he faced persecution from those who used to know him, those he used to run with, religious orders. He even faced persecution from people who were supposed Christians. So Paul had an understanding that, listen, I understand that there's a certain way that I'm supposed to war after the things of the Spirit, but I cannot deny that I'm still human and that I still have fleshly responses. So now we, with those two words, with military positioning as well as military strategy, we now go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3 and see that we are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. So again, we're not denying the human element when we face injustice. We're not denying the human element when we're under test and we're under trials. But what we're saying is our value system is placed far above these things. But verse 4, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we're really just going to flesh these scriptures out. Paul says, we use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the stronghold. So the word stronghold there is literally broken down to dungeons. So whenever we rely on our human reasonings, whenever we give in to false arguments, we're allowing ourselves to be in prison right where we are. But he goes on to say, we destroy these dungeons by casting down. And so if this is an act, casting down is something that we have to continually do. This is a military offensive operation of casting down every proud obstacle or every element of pride in our life that blocks us from getting to know who God is. And this is what prayer allows us to do. It allows us to take a moment to see in our hearts, are there grudges? Is there pain? Is there hurt? Is there unforgiveness? What is blocking? Is it a way of thinking? Is it a process that at one time worked in times past and we're having a hard time doing something new because that means letting go of control? Like, what is the obstacle of pride that is stopping us from getting to know God? Well, by casting down pride, we then capture rebellious thoughts or any thoughts that are anti what the Word of God says. And it says that we are to teach them to obey Christ. And so when the word obey Christ, I love this phraseology right here, because as we saw stronghold earlier was a dungeon, this now obey Christ is a new dungeon. Paul says it in other places like this, that he is now a prisoner of Christ. Or we see in Romans that we're slaves to righteousness. What he's saying is, instead of me putting all of my effort, all of my emphasis, all of my just foresight into things that aren't beneficial, I now am going to use that same energy and entrench my mind, entrench my responses into the dungeon or put them captive under the Word of God. Meaning that there's a way that naturally we will respond to situations instead of responding to them out of our own human motives and our own human emotions. We're going to say, what does the Word say? And that's what I'm going to do. So again, just to do a quick recap, when we're learning to fight smarter, not harder, it's about military strategy and military positioning. The military strategy is a strategy of gentleness, meaning that even when life feels like it's unfair, I am going to choose to respond from a place of love. First, knowing how much God loves me, and then with that same love, responding in every situation, thinking the best about every situation. But now the positioning that comes through the kindness of Christ, this kindness that we are now to use, is referring to we are going to be centered in our emotion. So before we pray, before we really get into spiritual warfare, we've got to regulate our heart through the love of God and make sure that our emotions are centered. Because how many of y'all have been there where temporary emotions will have you making permanent, not smart decisions? So we are to regulate our hearts. We are to regulate our responses. But how are we to do that? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 and 11, it says a final word. So how am I to maintain this spiritual military positioning and strategy? We are to be strong in the Lord and in His power. We are to put on God's armor. And this is what we'll focus on this month, putting on the armor of God, so that we will be able to stand firm against all of the strategies of the devil. It's important here to understand that this instruction in Ephesians chapter 6 is not saying be strong in your own strength or be strong in your own power. It's simply saying allow God's power to transform every situation. And similar to Sun Tzu's Art of War and the various areas that it applies to, that means that we are to take these positions and we're to take these strategies in every area of our life. In every area of our life, whenever we feel like we've been done wrong or when there's an injustice that is done, how do we respond from a place of love? But beyond that, whatever we're doing, how can we remain centered in our emotions? And the only way we're going to do that is that we have to be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. And we need to put on the armor of God so we'll be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. And so I just wanted to kick off this conversation today, kick off this series. Again, in your mind, understanding that spiritually we have a strategy, spiritually we have a position. But ultimately, as we embark on another month of spending time in prayer, our focus is, God, we're going to be centered in our emotions. God, we want to respond from a place of love. And as we have these prerequisites, then we'll be able to get into the various nuances of actual spiritual warfare and being able to pray through until you see the manifestation of what you're praying for. Often people give up because we have short bursts of faith. But how do we remain committed to the various tasks and to the various prayer projects, as we call them, until we see them and we're walking in the manifestation? And so I want to pray for you today. I want to pray for us. This week, many of you have reached out to the church. There are many of you who are at home dealing with just various things, just pressure, sickness, just questions, grief. And I believe it's my responsibility as the pastor of the outlet to keep you lifted and to pray with and for you. And so I would love to do that. And if you're desiring my prayer today, just simply text me at 770-667-4899. Again, it's 770-667-4899. And just say, will you pray for me? And I'll respond back to you and just find out specifically what it is. But I want us to go into this next season and this next phase of the year, finish out this year at our best and on top. And so, Heavenly Father, I'm praying for every person who is joining me by faith right now. I'm asking you, Lord, to meet them at the point of their faith. Whether they're in their homes or in their cars at work, and they're coming before you, God, saying, Lord, show me how to be led of you, how to walk with you, how to do what you called me to do. Father, I pray for every person who is dealing with any symptom of sickness and disease in their body. Lord, you sent your word and healed every single one of their diseases. Father, although we live in this world, we don't wage war under human motives. But Lord, we choose your way. And as we choose your way, we exchange the problems for the victory that you provided us. And we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. All right. So we are going to be starting 31 days of prayer starting on August 1st. And there are a few things that we have. This isn't as intense as our January 31 days of prayer. Although, if you're led to do fasting, we have resources on our website that will assist you. The focus of this season of prayer is simply to get us centered after a summer and after, you know, getting the kids back in school and just making sure that we're all grounded back into the principles that will help us to achieve what God is calling us to do. And so there are a few things, a checklist that I'm you know, just putting out here for you to kind of help guide you over the next 31 days. We're going to be praying every day starting tomorrow, Monday morning. And Monday through Friday, prayer will be from 7 a.m. to 7:15, just 15 minutes. And on Saturday and Sunday, prayer will be from 9:30 to 9:45 a.m. So on the weekends, prayer's a little later. During the week, it's right at 7 a.m., right to start your day. I'm asking that we all read one chapter a day in the book of Proverbs. Everyone read one chapter a day in the book of Proverbs. If you want to follow along and do this in community with our sermon notes, there's a link to the Bible plan that we're going to be doing, which is just reading a chapter of Proverbs. And you can comment and just share your reflections as you get them. I'm really excited about on Wednesday nights bringing back online Bible study. So if, you know, at the end of the day, you can join us on Facebook, YouTube, but really on Zoom, where we have all of our prayers. After I do the teaching portion, we're going to have a time where we get to have small group discussion. So we're getting back into groups. We're getting back into Bible studies. Really excited about this. And on next Sunday, as we continue the Art of War, my wife and I are going to be praying over every child, every teacher, every faculty member, every person as they're going back into the school year. We want to pray a blessing over your life, a hedge of protection over your life. So whether you're in person or online, we are going to have a moment of prayer and we are going to consecrate this school year. Well, I'm so excited about what God is doing here at the Outlet. And I can't wait to see you next time. God bless.
Well, amen and amen, y'all. That was a message that I needed to hear, and I hope that it has blessed your heart as well. Listen, I hope to see you soon. May God add a blessing to you wherever you are. We'll see you next time.